Thank you and good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. Last week on our program, we mentioned that being a disciple of Christ is not what I say it is or what you might say it is. Only Jesus can tell us what it means to be His disciple. Last week we looked at Luke 9 verse 23 where Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." According to Jesus, authentic discipleship requires denying self. We talked about what that means last week. Another passage where Jesus tells us what is involved in true discipleship is John 8, verses 30 to 32. Here John records, "As he," that is Jesus, "spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" I think most of us would understand that to be a disciple of Jesus, one must believe in Jesus. But this passage tells us that being a disciple of Jesus requires more than that. Here were people who believed in Jesus, but Jesus tells them that in order to be His disciple indeed, they must abide in His Word. Jesus presents to us another measure of an authentic disciple. True disciples do not simply say that they believe in Jesus, but they demonstrate their faith by continuing in His Word. If we are truly devoted to Jesus, we must be devoted to His Word. But what does that mean? How does a disciple demonstrate a devotion to Christ's words? Well, this is the focus of our lesson today. We're glad that you're with us. There are at least three things necessary if one is to abide in the words of Christ. Number one, we must study His Word. Don't miss the vital link between discipleship and study. The two are inseparable. You see, the term disciple means a learner. W.E. Vine, in his Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words, defines the Greek word from which we get the word disciple, and I quote, "a learner." He goes on to say, "Hence it denotes one who follows one's teaching," end of quote. The Greeks had their philosophers, and the philosophers would have their group of students who would follow them around and absorb their every word. These students were called disciples. Also, there were disciples of Jesus, and they would sit at His feet and learn from His words. This is what being a disciple was all about, learning from the Master. However, unlike the disciples of Jesus' day, we cannot go and sit at the feet of Jesus. The only way we can be taught by Him is through His written word, the Bible. And so, we can see the importance of Bible study. It goes to the core of what a disciple seeks to do, learn from the teacher. The only way I'm going to learn from Jesus and thus be His disciple is through a careful study of His teaching found in the Bible. Because this is true, we are blessed to live at a time when Bibles are plentiful. If you don't have a Bible, there's always someone who will give you a Bible. Not only do we have the Bible written on paper, but we have the Bible on our computers, our iPods, and our iPhones. There are CDs of the Bible we can play in our car. We can even load up our MP3 players with the Bible and listen while we work out. We have access to the Bible anytime, day or night. But here's the question. Do I take advantage of all the opportunities easily available to me to read and learn the words of Jesus? How odd that at this time when we have more access to the Bible than ever before, that many who claim to be disciples actually read and study it less. The Bible sits on the back seat of our car all week, or it collects dust on our bookshelves. All our electronic devices are used for other activities. Let us not lose sight of what is at risk, and that is authentic discipleship. If I'm going to be a true disciple of Christ, I must continue in His Word. To continue in His Word, I have to study His words. Really, it comes down to desire. I've got to want this. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." But someone may be saying, "But when I read the Bible, I really can't understand it." However, Jesus made it possible for us to understand His Word. Notice in our text, after Jesus said, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed," He then said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus says the truth can be known. To know it is to understand it. The Lord has made it possible for us to know His Word so we can abide in His Word. It requires a desire to know. Finding this longing, this desire, starts with a decision. I have to decide that I will not settle for being a disciple in name only. I have to decide that I want to be a true disciple of Jesus. Now, the second thing necessary, if one is to continue in the words of Christ, is that he must apply the word that he learns. Why do we study the Bible? What is the objective? Well, it is so we can do what he says. Jesus says in Luke 6 and verse 46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Again, to be a disciple of Christ, it is not enough just to acknowledge him as Lord. We must do what he says. Abiding in the words of Christ means we do what we learn from him. The Apostle Paul said to the Colossian saints, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Colossians 1 verses 9 and 10. Now, Paul prayed that these saints be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. But this is not where it ends. Paul goes on to spell out what we should do with this knowledge. He says, "that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him." I should use my knowledge to walk worthy of the Lord. I should use this knowledge to live my life in a way that pleases Him in everything I do. As disciples, this must be the objective of our study. Let me be clear about what I'm trying to say. We're not urging people to study their Bible simply to fulfill an obligation. It's not even about filling our minds with knowledge. The learning is supposed to change me. I must think about this as I study. When I read the Bible or hear it read, I need to be thinking, how does this apply to me? How should these truths change my life? It does us no good to hear and learn the Word if we do not put it into practice. James says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." That's James 1, verses 21 and 22. In verse 25 he says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Now, this will not always be easy. Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to do good to them, Matthew 5:44. Well, I may not feel like doing good to my enemy, but if I am a disciple of Christ, I will abide in His Word by doing what He says. Jesus says, "Whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart," Matthew 5, verse 28. Well, I may like visiting those pornographic websites, but if I'm a disciple of Christ, I will abide in His Word by never visiting another pornographic website again. You see, continuing in the Word of Christ means that we do what He says. And then a third thing necessary, if one is to continue in the words of Christ, is to respect the limits that Christ's Word imposes. Look with me in 2 John verses 9 through 11. "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now there are three things to note here in verse 9. First, the teaching of Christ imposes a boundary. We are bound by the teachings of Christ. Secondly, we are not supposed to cross that boundary. We must abide in his teachings and not go beyond it. And thirdly, to ignore this admonition and cross the line is serious business. To cross the line puts our relationship with God in jeopardy. John says, if we do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, we do not have God. We see this same principle in other passages. In Galatians 1, verses 8 through 9, Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now this passage is saying that there is only one gospel. One who preaches the gospel must preach what Paul and the other apostles preached in the first century, and that is what is recorded in the Bible. To preach anything different than what they preached is to be accursed. We are bound by the gospel that they preached. Also, John records in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, the words of the prophecy of this book refers to the book of Revelation. But I believe here we have a principle that applies to all of God's Word. We are not to add to it or take away from it. These scriptures confirm that a boundary exists when God's Word is revealed, and crossing that boundary has the most serious consequences. And yet, many who claim to be disciples of Christ ignore the boundaries of God's Word all the time. Some say, there's nothing wrong with baptizing infants. The Bible never says we cannot do it. However, the Bible did tell us who should be baptized, and that is sinners who are penitent believers. Mark 16:16, Acts 2 and verse 38. Infants are not a part of this group. To practice infant baptism goes beyond the teaching of Christ. When we do this, we've gone too far. Others say, well, there's nothing wrong with using mechanical instruments of music in worship to God. The New Testament never says we cannot use them. However, the Bible does tell us how to worship in song. Colossians 3 and verse 16, Ephesians 5, 19. Mechanical instruments of music are never included in those instructions. To use them in our worship is to go beyond the teaching of Christ. If we do this, we have gone too far. When people go beyond what Jesus authorized, no matter how well-intentioned, they have gone too far. Well, those who are true disciples of Jesus will not only study and apply His Word, but they will also respect its limits. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. Before we close, we want to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of topics, and you also are able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts. The web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com.